Hello and welcome to Python 411, computer programming for everybody. This week's podcast is about Jython, the felicitous union of Python and Java. Jython is a pure Java, it's Python written in pure Java to run on the Java virtual machine. And it has the leadership position in that niche, although there are other dynamic or scripting languages which run on the virtual machine of Java. None of them are as developed and as popular as Jython. And in fact, it was originally created by a great programmer named Jim Hagunen, and he has gone on now to create IronPython, which is a similar project, which is a version of Python to run on Microsoft's .NET virtual machine environment. And in fact, he has now been hired by Microsoft to create an official version of that, which is on version 0.9 or so. So thanks to Jim Hagunen for both of these projects. And of course, Jython has long since been maintained by others and developed by others. And it really is a leg up for Python compared to any other scripting or dynamic language. None of them have the lead pole position like Python does on both the .NET virtual machine environment and the Java virtual machine environment. Someday I hope to do a podcast about IronPython, but I haven't used it yet, and I have used Jython quite a bit. I've mainly played around with it down through the years, but I've always enjoyed it, especially in using it to create simple swing GUIs, which it's nice for. But it really is a fun thing because what you do is you download Jython and you install it, and then you run it from a command line just like you do Python, and you really can't hardly tell the difference. It's just as if you're using Python, and you can enter commands at the command line and execute them interactively to play around, or you can write your own Jython programs just like you'd write a Python program and execute it. I've only used it from the command line. I haven't used it with any IDEs. But what it's good for is it allows you to, first of all, it allows you to run your Jython program anywhere there's a Java virtual machine. Now, it's true that Python is so well ported that you don't usually need to do that. But I'll show you a couple of advantages where it's come in handy for me is I have a PDA called the Sharp Zorus, which does run Python, and I've written Python scripts to run on it. But in some cases, it is easier to integrate the Jython version of that program on the Sharp Zorus because the Sharp Zorus primary development environment is Java. And also on certain cell phones. Java is very common in programming cell phones, PDAs, and all sorts of handheld devices. So it is an extra place where you can run this. Crucially, you can also use Jython to get access to the Java classes, which are, as you know, quite extensive. And you can access them directly in Jython just as if they were a Python class. So indeed, I found Jython to be a whole lot of fun and quite easy to work with. And so I just want to bring it to your attention and point out a few things about it. So to briefly summarize what some of the potential benefits are, I'm just going to list 9 or 10 of them. First of all, as I mentioned, Jython programs can run almost anywhere that a Java virtual machine can be found. Secondly, it provides access to Java packages and class libraries. Third, and this is a biggie for some people, it furnishes a scripting environment for Java development. Now, to me, this doesn't mean much because I don't really do any Java development, although I did. Java was, a language that I learned. But if you are a Java programmer, Jython can give you access to an interactive terminal where you can use its introspection abilities to dig in and find out what's going on in your Java program a lot quicker than you could by using Java alone. Next, it enables ease of testing for Java class libraries. So, again, because it's such a hands-on thing, Jython, just like Python, it just simplifies some of these things. Python, by the way, lines up very well with the object-oriented programming environment of Java. So Python and Java has a lot of similarities, and maybe that's why this worked out so well. You can look at Java Beans property and introspection. You can port your Python programs over to the Java virtual machine, or it gives as I said, GUI developers access to the Java Swing libraries, which is important in some cases. And that's a pretty good list of advantages, and I think it's well worthwhile. Oh, and did I mention that it's fun? So if you want to play around with it, you just go and download Jython and install it. And it's very easy to install. I've installed it on Windows. I've installed it on Mac OS X. I've installed it on Linux. And I've never had a problem installing Jython, ever. So I can't believe you'll have a problem. Follow some simple instructions, and you'll be there. Then you could open up the Jython interactive shell. You'll have a Jython directory where you keep all your Jython programs. And you can execute them just as you would. You can execute a program just as you would in Python, except you type at the Jython shell, you type Jython, or excuse me, on the shell on Mac. Well, I'm using now Mac. You could be using DOS. But on the Mac shell, I just type Jython and the name of the program, and it executes. And the other cool thing you can do, and this I got to admit I find very neat, is you can compile your Jython programs into java.class files. And that's really neat because what it is, there's a compiler called Jython C. So Jython C compiler comes with Jython, and you just, at the command line, whatever you're using, you type Jython C, and then the name of the Python program you want to compile, or the Jython program you want to compile, and it will go through a compilation exercise. Now, there's many different options you can give it, which are, I've played around with a lot. They all work well, but no matter what options you use, you basically can wind up with a .class file. Now, first, what it actually does is it first compiles a .java file. Now, if you're not familiar with Java programming, all that is a file that has Java source code. So it will, in other words, convert your Jython source code, which is really just Python source code, and convert it into Java source code. Now, I find that interesting. Now, the Java code, I've looked at it, and of course, it's not pretty to look at. It's much longer and not as nice as Java code that a good Java programmer would create. But since I'm not a good Java programmer, in most cases, it's going to be better than the Java I would create because I would never get around to creating a Java program. So if you want to have Java source code for any of your Python programs, this is a way to do it. And then what Jython C does is it takes that .java source code file and applies the Java compiler to it, in usually something like Java C or Javoc, as I call it. So it applies that Javoc compiler and compiles the .java file or source Java source code into a .class file, which is the executable Java pseudocode file, if you will. And I'm not a Java expert, even less so than Python, so I hope I'm getting my terminology, hope I'm not mangling it too much. But at any rate, you wind up with a .class file that you can then execute in a Java virtual machine, whether or not you have Jython. Now, you may have to do, it does get a little complex going from one environment to the other, I'll admit. So it's not quite as seamless and easy as it would sound, but if you follow the instructions in any good book or on a good website, you'll get there. And then you can take that .class file and run it anywhere there is a Java virtual machine just by typing Java and then the name of the java.class file. So in my case, I started with one program called decide.py, and I ultimately compiled it into a decide.class file, and then I would just type Java decide, and it would execute in the Java virtual machine. And I find that cool, especially because then I could move it to my Zorus PDA, which I've done, and execute it there as a Java program. And I guess the most interesting thing to me has been playing around with the Swing GUIs. And what you can do is you can make these Swing GUIs, which are cross-platform, and it takes a lot less code to create them using Jython than it does to do them by using Java itself. And that is a benefit of the simplicity and elegance of the Python programming language. Now, I should point out that not every single Python library is available in Jython, but most of them are. Most of the standard library is right there and available for you to use. Tkinter isn't, for instance, but most are. Now, before we close our section on the Jython C compiler, there are a lot of options, as I said, and I just want to mention a couple of them, and because they're kind of interesting. Firstly, if you run Jython C on your program with the right parameters, you can create a .jar file, which is the standard Java package file, and you can package your whole program up in a .jar file to move it to another environment or whatever you want to do, to distribute it to your users. And that's very cool. But perhaps even more cool for a hobbyist like myself is you can create an applet, a Java applet. Now, I learned Java, although I didn't learn it well, but I learned it at the very beginning of Java. I got excited about Java back in the mid-90s. I don't know when it was, 96 or 7, when Java was relatively new. And applets were all the rage. Java could, you could create applets and embed them in web pages so that you could run them, when you're surfing the web, you could run the Java applet. And so, anyway, it is a very cool thing that you can take your Python program, use the Jython C compiler to compile it into a Java applet file, which can then be embedded in a web page. And I've done this on quite simple programs, but it to me it's just a lot of fun to see a Java applet created that way, because it's a lot easier than creating them the way I did back in 96 or 97 when I was learning to create applets with Java. I find that in actual practice it's probably easier for me to do a Python CGI on my remote server than it is to do a Java applet, but still, I'm sure that there are going to be instances where being able to do a Java applet is a decided advantage. And besides, it's just plain cool and fun. And there's many other options you can use the Jython C compiler for, but those are a couple of interesting ones. The .jar file, which is no doubt very useful to Java programmers, and the applet file, which is, I'm sure, useful in some cases, but also it's just a lot of fun for hackers and hobbyists like myself. Now, if you want to learn more about Jython, there are some resources on my website to do that. So my website is www.awaretech.com, AwareTech with a K. And on the there are 8 tutorials listed, Jython-based or Jython-related tutorials in the tutorials page. I went back and checked them briefly yesterday, and it looks like two of them might be dead links. I'm going to have to I don't want to call them out until another couple days to see if I can connect them. But, you know, it's very hard to keep that tutorial page up to date because I've got way over 200 tutorials now. And I hadn't looked at the Jython tutorials in quite a while. So, but anyway, 6 of them looked like they worked. And you can learn more online for free and easy. It's a good resource. There are also 3 books that I have read. I read these a long time ago, but they're still available and up to date. Just to mention them briefly, and I do have reviews of all 3 of them on my book reviews page. Jython Essentials, which is an O'Reilly book by Samuel Pedroni and Noel Rappin, is probably the one I would recommend the most to a Python hacker who doesn't know a lot about about Java, because it's just a general book, a short book of 277 pages about Jython. But the other 2 are also good. The other one that I would recommend is Jython for Java Programmers by Robert W. Bill. And that one is really aimed more at Java programmers who want to learn Jython. So nonetheless, I found it quite interesting. I have a copy here right in front of me, and it's by New Writers Publishing. And it's quite good because it goes into more detail on using Java in many ways. But thirdly, and this one I definitely also think is good, is called Python Programming with the Java Class Libraries by Richard Hightower. And that, again, I've got right in front of me is a Addison Wesley book. And it's really for Python programmers who want to have access to the Java Class Libraries. And it's also includes a tutorial for building web and enterprise applications with Jython. So there's 3 books. And again, as I think you'll agree with me, it's just another example of one of the big advantages of Python in that the number of resources for learning is so good. 3 books, and there's probably more. Those are 3 that were available at least 2 to 3 years ago. And then all of those online tutorials for free. So that's something that you get with the Python community that you don't get necessarily with some of the newer languages like Ruby. And that brings me back to the fact that I was speaking in the last podcast that I think one of the big advantages of Python is that it's a good general purpose language. It may not be the best at any one thing, but it's the best at covering almost everything. And for instance, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, having the lead pole position, having Jython be the best dynamic language for scripting the Java virtual machine, and having IronPython becoming certainly the best for doing the same thing with the .NET virtual machine, I think that's a big advantage that you can't get with Perl or Ruby. And I think that Python is, you know, it's very good on cell phones and PDAs or shell scripts. It's good at making Windows GUIs and Linux GUIs and Mac OS X GUIs. And it's good for very complex programs. And it's good for web server programs, simple CGIs, and complex server-side web programming with Zope and Cherry Pie and other Django. Sure, Ruby on Rails may be the most popular of its breed, but it's only one segment of the programming universe, and I think Python is very pragmatic and good at very many things. And Jython is a beautiful example of that. By the way, just on a personal note, I actually met Jim Hagunin once. Actually, it was about a year ago. And he's quite an impressive gentleman. I saw him give a presentation at last year's Lightweight Languages Conference at MIT University in Boston, or actually in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I've gone to that conference. It's held usually in November every year. It's free. If you live anywhere near Boston and you have a chance to go to it, I highly recommend it. I take my son there who's in high school and who's much better programmer than I am, and he enjoys it. And most of it's over my head, but they give papers on a lot of dynamic languages and new languages, including ones you almost never heard of before. But there have been a lot of Python papers presented down through the years. And last year, Jim Hagunin did a wonderful presentation on IronPython and what he's doing with the .NET environment. And he's a brilliant man, and he pointed out that by creating IronPython, he's taking advantage of the huge amount of resources and programming man hours that Microsoft is putting into the .NET virtual machine to make it faster and faster and faster. So he actually believes that although IronPython is still in beta, although it's very far along, that even as of last November, it was in some cases faster. The execution of IronPython, a program on IronPython, was faster than the execution of a Python program on the CPython, using CPython and the standard Python virtual machine, which is kind of astounding. And still he was working away on making it faster. So a lot of excitement going on in the Python community. And it's just, again, if you're a hobbyist or an enthusiast, it doesn't get any better than Python. And I know that many people use Python for the highest level professional programming, and I am very grateful to them, but it's just, you know, it's not obviously not the level I'm at. Having said that, I hope you enjoyed this little podcast, and I'll be coming back with more quite soon. I think what I'm going to turn to now is I'm going to go back to some of my programs that I've created simple GUIs for, and I think I'm going to explore Python Card some more and do a podcast on Python Card, which is a very visual and intuitive way to create GUIs for using the WX Python toolkit, which are cross-platform. And I might experiment with Tkinter. You know, Tkinter was the very first GUI toolkit I ever used when I was new to Python 5-6 years ago. And haven't used Tkinter at all in recent years, but I think I'm going to go back to it and experiment with that some more and just compare and contrast how that works out. So I guess I encourage feedback. If you have any comments, please send me an email or go to my website and leave a note on the discussion forum or send me an MP3 file, and I'll play it right here on the Python 1 podcast. Before I close, one more comment, and that is thank you to everyone who went over to Podcast Alley and voted for Python 411. It's quite interesting. Python 411, since I asked for votes, has jumped to the head of the pack. And actually, there are over 1,000 podcasts listed in the technology genre on Podcast Alley. And Python ranks number 32 this month. They start over the first of every month based on the votes. And that puts us ahead of the Perlcast. It actually makes Python 401 be the leading programming language or related type topic podcast at number 32. Perlcast is number 44. ProPHP is number 49. .NET Rocks is number 99. The JavaCast is number 120. And Ruby on Rails podcast isn't even ranked because it has 0 votes for the month. So I realize that's a lighthearted thing, but it's kind of neat to see Python 411 be up there at number 32, and that must frustrate the heck out of the Perlcast people and the PHP and .NET, Java, and Ruby on Rails people. So kind of interesting if you go over there and check it out. Interesting little tidbit. So enjoy your Python hacking, and I'll be back with you soon. And continue to send feedback. I love it, even if it's critical, because that can help me to do a better job on future podcasts. So for now, over and out. This is Ron Stevens with the Python 411 podcast, computer programming for everybody.